And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you're having a wonderful day today. I know one thing. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, haven't you? And you know, no matter what's going on around us, the goodness of God is so good. It's just so good that, you know, you can deal with anything, You can rise to the occasion because you know that the Lord is with you. You don't have to do it by yourself. I really do feel sorry for these people who don't believe in God, who don't know Him, and have to run around bouncing from pillar to post trying to find meaning in life and trying to convince themselves that their sinful lives are somehow meaningful and that's their true identity. And if you don't believe them, they'll kill you over it. You know, it's like, it's like suicidal. It really is. To try to navigate your way in life without God. It's death-inducing. And I am so glad. I don't pat myself on the back. By grace, I'm saved through faith. Not of myself. It is the gift of God so that I can't boast. So don't get me wrong. But I do feel sorry for people who don't know God, don't you? Because when things aren't going well and life falls apart for them, what do they do? To whom do they turn? Well, some people do turn to God at times like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for those who don't, you know what they turn to. They turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to illicit sex. They turn to you name the sin. And, of course, in the most extreme cases, they turn to suicide. So I really do feel sorry for people who don't know God. You know, there's an old song that says, well, don't you have problems too? Don't you better believe I do. Of course I do. I'm a human being and I live in this world. So, you know, I wouldn't dare try to kid you about that. But, you know, there's an old song that says, this joy I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. So, you know, there's joy that runs in the believer like a deep river that no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so I just want to encourage you to whatever you might be facing and what you might be thinking about right now is the craziness going on. I mean, and look, don't get me wrong, folks. There are sometimes I listen to some of these politicians talk, and you just want to reach through the screen, you know, just reach through the screen. I heard this senator, I forget which one it is, pontificating today about Trump and Trump's supporters not accepting the outcome of the election, how dangerous it is for our democracy. Of course, somebody needs to tell them we're a constitutional republic, not a democracy, but that's another matter. And it's no telling where this is liable to end, and this is a dangerous thing. He's talking about the hearings that are taking place on Capitol Hill right now, the U.S. Senate hearings on the election irregularities in the 2020 election. And let's face it. I saw some of these witnesses. I couldn't watch the whole thing, but some of these witnesses got up and talked about the thousands of dead people, the thousands of illegal immigrants, the thousands of replicated votes. In other words, people who voted more than once, and they have the documentation. These are not speculations or statistical analyses. These are facts. They've actually gone in and ferreted this stuff out, and the courts didn't want to hear it. They just didn't want to hear it. And so you get these Democrats pontificating when from the very beginning, Hillary Clinton in 2016 denied that President Donald J. Trump was the legitimate president of the United States. And she kept that up for 4 years. I heard her say not too long ago, I won the election. I won. No, you didn't. Not according to the Constitution of the United States. Not according to our system. You didn't win. If you'd won, you'd have been president. You didn't win. I'll be very honest, folks. I don't believe that Joe Biden won this election. I just don't. I just don't. I see so much evidence of shenanigans and irregularities and outright fraud and ballots appearing from nowhere and the use of these mail-in ballots without any signature verification. I'm told that basically the person in charge of the voting system for all practical purposes in Georgia this last time around was Stacey Abrams. Well, what do you think that's going to get you? In fact, I talked to a friend of mine yesterday who was very, very discouraged for that very reason about the Georgia election. Said, well, if Stacey Abrams is controlling everything, and if you got people in office who are bowing to her because she has so much influence, what makes you think the outcome is going to be any different? And look, that's a point well taken. But I believe God, and I believe, you know, you fool me once, okay, that's your fault. Fool me twice, that's my fault. So I would hope that the good citizens of Georgia and the Republicans of Georgia would make sure that the runoff election that's held on January 5th is clean, that they will have none of the shenanigans that were pulled during the November 3rd election of putting people out of the room and then suddenly pulling out a bunch of ballots that you didn't acknowledge were there before you put all the poll watchers out. There's something fundamentally wrong with that, isn't there? I mean, they were put out, and then out come the suitcases full of new ballots that hadn't been acknowledged before. Yeah, that smells funny, doesn't it? So I think they proved the case that a lot of shenanigans took place in this election, and enough to have changed the outcome of the election. I think it was Wisconsin where the guy argued that if the actual rules that were in place before this election that got changed just before the election, but if the rules, prior rules had been in place, President Donald Trump would have won. He would have won that state. And I dare say that if the, because, you know, a lot of states change their rules just leading up to the election, which shouldn't be allowed. Once the election starts, once the process starts, the campaign starts, normally legislative changes apply only post that particular activity. Okay, so that would change, the changes would be implemented after the election's over, not during. That happened all over the country where you've got leftists in charge. I'm hopeful, though. I'm hopeful that these communists who are running on the Democrat side in Georgia, and folks, let's face it, this is not Democrat versus Republican ultimately. This is ultimately freedom versus tyranny. This is ultimately good versus evil. This is ultimately our constitutional republic versus a fundamentally transformed socialist state. So I'm hopeful that the patriots who are running down there will prevail and will go to the Senate, and the Senate will remain in the hands of, well, right now, Mitch McConnell, I suppose. Not that I'm not a big fan of Mitch McConnell, mind you, but, you know, we'll take it for now. I'll tell you what, I'll take Mitch McConnell over Chuck Schumer all day long, every day, and twice on Sunday. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. The mainstream press has done a very poor job of covering the pandemic. That's the conclusion of one research paper published by the National Bureau of Economic Research. Scholars from Dartmouth College and Brown University analyzed the tone of COVID-19-related news articles since the start of this year. They found a significant difference between the way the U.S. media covered the pandemic compared to how media in other countries covered it. For example, more than 9 of 10 stories by U.S. major media were negative in tone. By contrast, only about half were negative when covered by non-U.S. media. The U.S. media ran many more stories about increasing COVID-19 cases than stories about decreasing cases, even during periods when new cases were actually declining. The researchers also found a disconnect when it came to reporting the reopening of schools. While researchers were finding that young students are less likely to catch the virus or become super spreaders, the mainstream media was overwhelmingly negative compared to major media in other countries. Finally, the researchers also found that the U.S. media did not accurately report on the development of vaccines. They actually spent more time talking about the president and hydroxychloroquine than they did on vaccine research. The media did very few stories on the vaccines and didn't even start covering the vaccine development until later in the year. The research study merely validates what many of us saw during the press conferences with the coronavirus task force, the headlines of newspapers, and the news stories on television. Press coverage was routinely negative because the press disliked the president and didn't want to acknowledge any successes during this election year. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hi, it's Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, the words that John pens early in his gospel are truly comforting, aren't they? Knowing that God fulfilled his promise of bringing Jesus to us and that he's with us and for us. And yet, you know what? Most evangelicals outside of the U.S. in places where Bible League serves, like Asia, Africa, and the Middle East, have never read those words. They can't open their Bible on a daily basis and be reminded of God's precious promises. So how wonderful this Advent season if many Christians around the world could open their own Bible and read for themselves, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Learn how you can be a blessing to these believers praying for a Bible by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Giving a Bible to somebody is the greatest gift you can give somebody in life.
Brian Fisher here. A major fracture among regressives. BLM opposes a homosexual for a Biden cabinet post. Abe Lincoln is canceled in San Francisco. You'll never believe why. It's now racist to use an orca whale as your team's mascot. Portland's mayor turns the city over to Antifa and BLM. Mitch surrenders to voter fraud, and everything is riding on Georgia. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And we're back. Here's another interesting thing that is not getting a lot of play, but I have to talk about this because I think that this is really the greatest threat to our country in terms of getting people to buy into Marxism and socialism and communism. And it is racializing everything. You know, you turn everything into a matter of identity politics. That's the new class warfare. That's the Marxist strategy now. Instead of class warfare, what you have is identity politics warfare. You have racial politics. And to some extent, of course, there really aren't enough homosexuals in the country to make a bit of difference. But everybody acts like they're the majority. And I go figure. I don't get that one, except that people love sin and hate righteousness. And of course, the homosexual community represents sin, an arrogant commitment to sin and rebel against God. I'm talking about the activist community. I'm not saying every person who's got homosexual attractions, but the arrogant activist community, it's in not only your face and my face, but it's in God's face. And people give that a great deal of attention and sway and influence in our culture today. In fact, I've always been offended by analogizing homosexuality with being black. The amount of melanin in a person's skin has no moral implications whatsoever. It doesn't say anything about a person's character. It doesn't say anything about a person's behavior. It doesn't really tell you much of anything except how the person looks. Homosexuality is behavior. Now, they can argue all day long about, well, you know, we're born that way, but there's absolutely, talk about science, I'm often lectured by these leftists about not paying attention to science. In fact, a comment I made, I think, last week about believing God. Well, actually, I think I made this comment on Facebook about believing God when the turbulence in a plane goes bad. And I said, and scientists want to brag about how great they are and how much they know. I said, but God is the one who ultimately sustains us in those very difficult moments. And they ridicule that. See, that's how stupid he is telling everybody that. In fact, they quoted me saying, this is how stupid he is telling everybody that they should put their trust in God. So, yeah. And let me say it again. Put your trust in God, not in these social systems, not in socialism, not because social justice is nothing but a euphemism for socialism. And socialism is nothing but a euphemism for Marxism and communism. Don't put your trust in that, right? Put your trust in Almighty God. Yes. Guilty as charged. Well, race, you see, is the vehicle that is being used to introduce and acclimate the culture to Marxism. Because class warfare doesn't work in America. But racial conflict does, because the left will simply never allow us to get over our history. They don't put us in the context of the history of the world. No. It's everything wrong that's happened in America is the fault. Everything wrong that's happened in the world is the fault of America. Like this senator we've got here in Virginia, had the nerve to say, not Mark Warner, the other guy, I've tried to put him out of my mind, because he had the actual nerve to say, America didn't inherit slavery, America invented slavery. And you know, you just want to slap the toupee off of his head. I mean, what in the world? And folks, I'm being metaphorical and okay. just a little humorous. Believe me, I am not going to slap him. But, you know, this is the kind of stupid stuff you get. Well, at any rate, Ossoff, who's running down in Virginia, Ossoff happens to be Jewish. Now, I just found that out this morning. Just reading my news feed this morning, I just found that out. I had no idea. I am categorically opposed to Ossoff because of the things he stands for. But you know what Ossoff is saying? Our opposition is coming from the fact that we are black, talking about Warnoff too, that we are black and Jewish. That's why they hate us. That's why they don't like us. You know, that stuff is so cowardly. It really is. It's just cowardly, wimpy, sissified. And Obama was the same way. Hiding behind race, hiding behind his ethnic identity. Instead of just saying, look, I have some positions on issues that I know people don't agree with, and that's their right. I think I'm right, and here's why. Oh, no. It's not about your where you stand. It's not about your positions on the issues. It's not about that simple, just utterly degenerate philosophy that you bring to public policy. No. It's being black. It's being Jewish. You know, if you ever hear me making an excuse for anything in life based on the color of my skin, you have the permission to slap me. Please don't. But what about, you know, yesterday I was a doctor. Today I'm giving people the permission to slap me. And some leftist listening thinking, well, I can't wait to see him. So let me withdraw that comment. No, don't slap me. Don't do it. But it's just, it's so wimpish. It's so childish. Just own up. Look, I know people don't like me because of my position on homosexuality and abortion and a host of other issues. I know that. It's not because of the color of my skin. It's because they don't like my positions. Now, I will say this. The left particularly resents somebody like me because of the color of my skin, because they hate any person that they deem to be a minority who does not go along with liberalism. So that's not just me. That's their problem, because you see, the left, and you leftists monitoring the program, hear me well. See, the left hasn't gotten, they're always railing about slavery, but they haven't gotten over it. The left still wants black people to be their slaves. Yeah, I said it and I'm not taking it back. The left still want black people to be their slaves. They want to control how you think. They want to control what you say. They want to control what your political affiliations are and what your ideology is. And if you don't go along with them, oh my goodness, they attack you. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that they hate conservatives anyway, so I know that. But they do have a particular antipathy for black conservatives. And frankly, I think the same is true for women, for anybody they deem to be one of their victim groups that they are responsible for having rescued. And all that you have and all that you do and all that you know in life is because liberals, in their tremendous beneficence and largesse, have been so good to you. How could you think of running off the plantation? How could you even consider it? Well, you ingrate, you. Yeah. Yeah, I said it. I'll say it again. Liberals still want black people to be their slaves. And that's their problem. That's why they hate people like me. If you're one of the good ones, oh, yeah, abort the babies. I think that's great. Oh, marriage is a union between two men or two women. Absolutely. I go along with that. Oh, Israel is an apartheid nation. Oh, yes, absolutely. I agree with that. Oh, yes. No question about it. And there's no such difference. There's no difference between men and women. That's a social construct. I agree with that. Now, see, if you talk like that, if you believe like that, they'll wrap their arms around you. They'll kiss you on the head. They'll rub your head for good luck, because you're one of the good ones. Man, I'm probably getting myself in trouble. Let me stop. But see, look, folks, and I'm not diminishing the people who still maintain the hostility that they have for people who have a different complexion than they. I know that there's still people out there who subscribe to the Ku Klux Klan. I think there are very, very few of them. I know there's still people out there who describe to a racial ideology. And by the way, not just black, not just white people per se, but people of whatever background. I know that. But you know what? I don't believe they're a threat at all to almost anybody, because they're so marginalized and so insignificant that nobody even gives them a second thought. You know what the real danger is to black folks in America? Liberals. Liberals. So Ossoff is down there in Georgia claiming that the opposition to Warnock, who's been dubbed the most far out radical individual who's ever run for the U.S. Senate. Oh, but no. Nobody's opposed him because of that. No. That's the smokescreen. They're opposed to him because he's black. I guess that's why I'm opposed to him too, even though I happen to be black too. But still, that's the real agenda. I mean, these people really need to get a clue and stop hiding behind that facade, and at least have the courage to own up to the ridiculous views that they have, because that's what people hate, not them or the color of their skin or their Jewishness. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Our Creator intended for us to enjoy living. Those who feel the Christian religion concerns itself only with life after death miss a major portion of the message of the Galilean. He was very much concerned about us in the here and now. Using the common sense God has given us, and some guidelines Christ gave to approach life, we can set down some rules that will help us enjoy life if we will follow them, even enjoy life a little more than perhaps we do now. The first rule is enjoy living a little more by laughing a little more. A good sense of humor has never hurt a single person, and it has made life blossom like a flower in the desert for multitudes. Concerning laughter, Sir Max Beerbohm once wrote, "Strange, when you come to think of it, that of all the countless folk who have lived before our time on this planet, not one is known in history or in legend as having died of laughter." Thomas Carlyle, the historian, believed in the medicine of laughter so much that he once said, "No man who has once heartily and wholly laughed can be altogether irreclaimably bad." If you wish to enjoy living a little more, then laugh a little more. Two men were fishing one Sunday morning when they heard the church bells ring, reminding the people in the town that it was time to come to church. One of the men, feeling guilty that he was fishing rather than being in church for worship, said to the other, "You know, I guess we should have gone to church this morning." The other man, without ever giving it a second thought, replied, "Well, I couldn't have gone anyway. My wife is sick this morning." There's a good reason. And then there was a man who was having several distressing events happening to him at one time. He was telling a friend about his troubles. The friend, wanting to be of help to the man, told him, said, "Cheer up, things could get worse." And the story goes that the man with all the problems took his friend's advice. He said he cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. Another rule to follow, which will be helpful, is this: enjoy your family a little more. Family life was intended by God to be an enjoyable experience, and it will be if we work at it, give it a little more of our time and effort. Children and grandchildren are to be enjoyed. So are parents and grandparents. Here's some practical advice from the pen of Ogden Nash. One would be in less danger from the wiles of the stranger if one's own kin and kith were more fun to be with. In the world in which we live, the family unit is likely to break apart, at least mentally, if not physically, if we don't make an overt effort to keep it together and fun to be a part of. Business and a few of the other things which often seem so pressing can wait occasionally. The family unit only stays intact so long. So enjoy the family. Make it enjoyable to be a part of the family unit. Take the time and make the effort to enjoy the family a little more.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Speaking of Raphael Warnock, down in Georgia, there is a press conference of black ministers. I cannot be there, but there are a bunch of black ministers who are having a press conference on Friday, I think at 10 a.m. in Atlanta, to, in effect, call Warnock to task for his pro-abortion stand and other things as well. There are other things will be brought up as well. And I guess those black ministers who are gathering to make clear their disenchantment with Warnock and their opposition to him, I guess they must be racist too, huh? Because that's the only reason why anybody would oppose him. Look, the whole thing is preposterous. I want to start taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You know, I really get tired of hearing liberals
point the finger of racism at everybody for every reason. It's tiring. It's boring, frankly. And it's the last refuge of the scoundrel. And they run to it every time. And now you got Ossoff. I didn't even know the guy was Jewish. I'm opposing him. I oppose him because of the positions he takes. But now I didn't realize I was being anti-Semitic in doing so. See, that's just a ruse. But, you know, keep this in mind. Here's an insight about these leftists. Whatever they're squealing the loudest about and accusing others of doing and being, that's who they are. That's who they are. What are they squealing about now? President Trump won't accept the outcome of the election. They spent 4 years denying the outcome of the election. Spent $35 million of taxpayer money trying to prove the hoax of the Russian collusion when there was nothing there to prove. It was just another way of opposing the election of President Donald Trump. So when they want to stand up and get all indignant about not accepting, at least President Trump's got substantive complaints that are worthy of consideration and evaluation. What did Hillary Clinton have? I won. Why? The Electoral College robbed me of it. Well, the Electoral College is part of our system of elections for the presidency, so get over it. To make sure that smaller and rural states have a say in who becomes president of the United States and the country's not run by California and New York. Get over it. The number again is 888-589-8840. Let's see. Are there any other issues before I come to the calls? Anything else that I need to raise with you all? Yes. One other thing. You know, there have been numerous reports about China spying on the American people. One was that they were rerouting calls from the West Coast to Washington, D.C. through China first. And now there's a new report that they're using a Caribbean telephone company, cell phone company, to spy on Americans. China strikes again. And yet we've got people in our country who seem to be more enamored and more loyal to communist China than they are to the United States of America. That's a sad state of affairs, folks. That's a very sad state of affairs. Okay, 888-589-8840 is the number. All right, let's get started here with your comments. Let's go to Tommy in Mississippi. Tommy, welcome.
Hey there, Dr. Jackson. How you doing today?
Here we go again. I just said to my producer, what Pandora's box have I opened up here? Okay, Tommy. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
It's good to be on. I was just going to ask, with our current state of affairs, everything looking so dour for the presidency, how are you keeping your spirits up? Because you always seem to have a smile and a laugh regardless of the situation.
Well, thank you for noticing that, Tommy. And look, you know what the answer is. It's my faith in God. I really believe with all of my heart that this nation is providential, that God loves the United States of America, that he established it for a purpose. And part of that purpose, I really believe, is that our country, more than any other that's ever existed, reflects the kingdom of God. People from every part of the globe are here. And the God who gave us that, you know, the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without revocation. I think as long as we, God's people, will stand up and defend our country, I don't believe God is going to let it go down. So even though there may be Ziklags. You remember Ziklag, right? David ended up going back to Ziklag and found out that the Philistines had taken their wives, taken their children, taken their goods. Even though they are Ziklags like that, remember what the Bible says, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And so I think that's what we just have to keep doing. And then told him, go get them, because you shall recover all. And so I think that we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord and keep fighting, knowing that ultimately we're going to win. And I believe that with all my heart, that America is going to be a nation that predominantly reflects Judeo-Christian values and principles in spite of this little downturn we've been experiencing for nearly a generation now. But we're going to come out of it. So
I hope that helps answer your question, Tommy, but thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Lori in Georgia. Lori, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Bless
you. Hi.
Keep preaching it.
Thank you.
I was thinking the liberals were using race beyond what race is, you know, the race, you know, the black race, the white race, and the they call others, well, Jewish is not race, they really, but they, the Nazis took that, and all this sounds kind of Nazi-ish.
Lori, I couldn't agree more. I think that while they accuse others of acting like Nazis, they're the ones who really pick up that mantle. So, yeah, you're right. And you also, you know, that's why I say I don't like, I use them because, you know, you kind of almost have to be understood in this culture. But people of color, all people have color. All people have color. And, you know, white, what they call white, I heard somebody referring to the fact that Iranians should be considered white. Well, they're Persians and Middle Easterners. And, you know, they're Italians with very swarthy skin. People have different complexions. So the whole thing of race is really completely overblown, or some of you have said, and I think rightly, there really is no such thing. I mean, we all come from the same parents, ultimately. So yeah, Lori, but the left, it's their chief political tool. It's the thing that they use more than anything else to slam people over the head. It's their sledgehammer of politics to shut people up and intimidate people. And frankly, I've had it, and I hope all of you have too. Just look, this is where I stand. Has nothing to do with race, so don't even bring that stuff up because I'm not even hearing it. Thank you for the call, Lori. Let's see. We've got time for another one. Is that Valeda in Tennessee?
Yes, sir.
Did I get that right, Valeda? Fine. How are you?
Good. First of all, I want to thank you for your program. I just moved here a year ago from Louisville, Kentucky. And when I moved to Tennessee, I found your station. But totally agree with what you just now said. I kind of just wanted to make a comment that just because I had a encounter with my dad yesterday. I am black. I'm a woman of color, whatever you want to call it. I'm God's child. He doesn't see any color. And he, of course, doesn't like the fact that I am a Republican. And I know that I can't have any discussions with him at all about politics or my faith. Mm-hmm. And I know all I can do is really pray, but how should I really deal with this? I mean, he vehemently told me yesterday he does not believe there's a God, and why, if there was a God, why did God let his people, the black people, go through what they went through? And I was just like, he has no idea.
Yeah, Valeda, I've got to go. I've got to take a break. But listen, thank you so much for the call, Valeda. And I'll comment about your relationship with your father when I come back. But God bless you for standing strong with someone that I know you love and you don't want to hurt. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
Christmas calls for Christmas music. Get it now with the AFR app.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Download the AFR app for free from your local app store and enjoy Christmas music from AFR all season long.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy...
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio.
We want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
This year has just flown by.
I know, it's already December.
As 2020 comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. With a planned gift, you partner with American Family Association and become a Christian patriot, an activist, a broadcaster, a Bible teacher, a servant, and an evangelist advancing God's kingdom in America. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. A planned gift can take the form of a charitable gift annuity, an IRA charitable rollover, or a gift of stock that helps you avoid capital gains tax. And many of these benefits can be achieved with a surprisingly modest gift. Contact the AFA Foundation and learn more about making a planned gift. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Being the best mother I could do was releasing my child and choosing the best life for her.
Lindsay Pepin on Focus on the Family Minute.
And I remember being at church and praying to God and saying, "I place my baby in your strong arms, bring peace to my soul." And God said back to me, "You know, I understand, because I had to give up my baby too." And when the God of the universe can come down and meet you right where you are and say, "I understand your pain. I get it, because I had to give up my baby too, and I gave up my baby for you." How do you, at that point, you just have to trust and you just know that He will work it out, that your baby is going to be safe and in the right home, because He gets it. The God of the universe got my pain. The first, out of all that time, no one understood me. No one got me. Nobody understood me, but the God of the universe did.
More from Lindsay at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, let me respond briefly to the latest comment. She said, her father said, "Well, if God is, there's no God, and if there's a God, why did He let His people, black people, suffer the way they have?" Well, first of all, there is a God, and He didn't let black people suffer. All people have suffered. See, this is one of the lies of the left. One of the lies of the left is that somehow black people have uniquely suffered like no one else in history. Well, that's a lie. Everybody, every one of you listening to me, your ancestors, somewhere along the way, they were oppressed, they were subjugated, enslaved in some cases. I've talked about how the Irish were called chimpanzees and criminals and people who committed heinous kinds of sexual perversion. The British had all kinds of stereotypes of the Irish during the 15th, 16th century in Italy. The peasants were considered to be lower than the prince's guard dogs. Yeah, lower than the prince's guard dogs. And in these cases, now these are quote-unquote European people, right? And yet they were treated like slaves, to the extent that a patrician in Italy or a British lord in Britain could literally go get an Irish person's or an Italian peasant's wife and take them and use them however they wished. And there wasn't a thing that the peasant or the lowly Irish person could say. Well, that's not unique to Italy and Ireland. That's happened all over the world. And this idea that somehow black people have been the unique victims of injustice is just, it's just not true. It goes all the way back to Egypt when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that kind of thing has been going on since time immemorial. If you've seen the movie Spartacus, well, what was Spartacus about? It was about a group of 900,000 slaves under the leadership of a man named Spartacus who decided that they did not, no longer wanted to be slaves to the Romans. And they were all Europeans. They were all, to use today's nomenclature, they were all white. And we've got human trafficking going on this very day. And in a couple of Muslim countries, the human rights organizations accuse them of practicing slavery now in the modern era. This is a human problem. It's not a black and white problem.
And God didn't let any of it happen. All of it's happened because of the sinfulness of human beings, because of our fallenness, our inability to love like God loves us. And that's why Jesus came. He came not only to get us into heaven, because that's part of the major part, to be able to spend eternity with him, but also to teach us how to live and love in this life, to teach us how not to hurt and harm and subjugate people. He told us even love our enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Be like your Father in heaven, who makes his sun to shine and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, on the evil and the good. So you've just got to keep praying for your Father and minister to that to him. I say, you know, this failure to put America in its proper world context, in proper world historical setting, is what allows the left to propagate this lie to our young people that America is uniquely a place of injustice. It's garbage. It's just garbage. It's just not true. Okay, let's go back to your calls. Thank you for the call, Dovaleda. That was a very interesting question. I'm praying for you and your father to be ultimately reconciled in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Ari in North Carolina. Ari, welcome.
All right, thank you. Well, you know, people need to travel and see what life is like in other countries.
Yes.
I've been to Africa in the middle of the Congo, and at this very moment, people there are living in the Stone Age. Mm-hmm. They have nothing. It's the same. My ancestors came from Russia. My grandfather and his brothers, they had to leave in the middle of the night because the Tsar had sent conscriptors out to take young men out of their beds and put them in the army for cannon fodder. So we need perspective.
Wow.
And
yes,
I think that's the thing. You can't just listen to one voice.
Right. I agree, Ari. I agree. Is that what you called to say?
Well, I was really wanted to remind people of the nursery rhyme that has been banned all across the country. It's the story of the little red hen. And basically, she decided she wanted to have a cake, so she planted the wheat. She took care of it and harvested the wheat, and she ground it into flour. And at every stage, she asked for help. She asked the fox, "Would you help me?" She said, "Oh, not I," said the fox. "Would you help me grind the flour?" "Oh, not I," said the pig. "Well, would you help me, bake the cake?" "Oh, not I," said the horse. But then when the cake was ready, she said, "Well, who will help me eat the cake?" "Oh, I will," said the pig, and the cow and the cat. And that's a good principle. In other words, if you want to enjoy the privileges of your society, you need to contribute something to it. And
amen.
That merit gives you a right to say, gives you a say-so into what happens to the product of the effort.
Amen. Ari, thank you. Thank you for the little red hen story. That was entertaining. Appreciate that, Ari. Let's go to Jeff in Iowa. Jeff, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a comment on why I think that Hillary didn't fight her election loss like President Trump is, because I think she knew that all of this kind of stuff would have come out then.
Interesting. Wow. That's a very interesting perspective. She didn't want to open Pandora's box. She didn't want to get that ball rolling and have people understand all the shenanigans that they're playing with the electoral system. Wow.
I believe that's correct. I believe that she knew that she was supposed to win, but it was the same situation. Donald Trump got so many votes that they couldn't game it that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you something, Jeff. As I said before, when people worship power, there's nothing they won't do to get it and keep it. And so while I don't know exactly what went on in 2016, because, of course, the outcome didn't demand that kind of scrutiny, I would not put it past them. Thanks for the call, Jeff. God bless you. Let's go to Nick in Indiana. Nick, welcome. Nick, are you there?
Hey. Yes, I'm
hey.
Here. Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm on the fence about this politics, this political things about who should have won. My question is to you, one is, so if all these votes that apparently didn't get counted and Trump won, once they get counted, which most of these states are counting, recounting and doing anything for his pleasure or his right to know, I mean, is he going to step down and be graceful with it? I mean, because to me, once you lose, you lose. If you have this, if you have that many types of votes or that many votes and you feel strong about it, then just run the next election, the next 4 years, and you'll be right back into the presidency. Why go and create havoc on our electoral system for so many years? And who do you believe? Who do you believe? Yeah. You know, because the government has so many different things that people don't know the whole truth to. So who do you, I mean, where do you stop and say, hey, this is true and not true?
Okay. Well, Nick, listen, you, if you saw the hearings today, you listened to the facts that the lawyers brought forth today, and you heard them talk about facts and talk about actual numbers of illegal immigrants, of dead people, of people who voted more than once, things that they could document that the court was not willing to hear. And look, if this were a straight up election and we weren't having these kinds of problems, I would agree with you. I'd say, Mr. President, you lost, and lose graciously and move on. But that's not what we've got here. And I think what President Trump is trying to do is trying to make clear to the American people that we've got a major problem with our election system, and we better fix it before it gets a whole lot worse and we end up trying to resolve this like some banana republic. But that's not him stirring up the trouble. That's the people who put everybody out, all the poll watchers out, and then pull out two big cases of ballots to count in the middle of the night. That's not President Trump's fault. And pointing that out is not creating havoc. It's the people who are pulling stunts like that that are creating the havoc. But thank you for the call, Nick. We appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go to Lee in Virginia. Lee, welcome.
Yes, sir. Bishop Jack, I'd like just to say right fast to add what you said to that lady. She needs to remember that the nation of Israel has suffered under every world empire that's ever been, starting with the Assyrians all the way down to now. You know, and they're God's chosen people, and they have suffered. But and to your last caller, the reason I called you, you know, I'm very apprehensive. If President Trump does not prevail, we will never see another fair election in this country. There'll never be another Republican, and they've only got 2 years to do what they want to do till the House is elected again. And you know, even if we split the Georgia thing, I don't know you can count on Collins and Romney to do the right thing. And I'm very apprehensive that if President Trump does not prevail, somehow, some way, we'll never see another fair election with all the illegal immigrants, like you said, that they're letting come in. And that's it. God bless you.
God bless you, too, Lee. Let's get another call in here real quickly. I'll respond to your comments. Let's go to Kimberly in Texas. Kimberly, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Bishop. I turned my radio down. Sorry. Can you hear
me?
That's
okay. Yes, I can hear you fine.
I just wanted to say that I appreciate your candor and your refreshing. You just speak the truth. And I would just ask you to pray for me to have courage, because we need courageous people. We need the body of Christ to be courageous. And honestly, I'm not. I believe and I trust in the Lord, but I want courage for that day when I'm confronted with a situation that will cost me something.
Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you. I will pray for your courage, Kimberly. Father, give her courage. And Kimberly, find your courage in the Word of God. All right, folks, thank you all so much for a great program. Appreciate it. I'll be back again tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.